Wu-Tang fuck niggas up. Straight up. We talking about how y'all feeling. Killer Army in the place to be.
I was going to say September, November 18th.
November.
Yeah, 2015, episode number 155.
Nice.
Thank you, Rob Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Small. Johnny question mark.
Hello, world.
How are you?
I'm great.
You're good? You're good? You're great?
I've got this coffee now. I'm getting a little bit of energy, recovering, because I did just fly back in from New Orleans this afternoon.
All right. Did you see Ellen DeGeneres?
No, is she in New Orleans?
No, she's from there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You just assume people are from there. They
that you
are there
see them
all
there.
The time. Wherever no. She does her show, she flies back to New Orleans and
I did not
lives
see,
there.
I did not see Ellen DeGeneres.
Franz Diego.
Yes, sir.
Guest for the week. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I feel pretty healthy. Yeah, I feel pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah.
This week, sponsored by Barefoot Wine.
Barefoot Wine.
The Rich Red Blend.
The number one wine of the Thank You Rob podcast.
It is. The 1.5 liter. Is what this bottle is.
That's a really big bottle.
It is a big bottle.
Fat boy, big body.
On sale at your local Hy-Vee for $7.97.
Well, look at that.
Isn't that a deal?
Yeah.
The last time I've talked about this on the show, the last time I bought this bottle at Hy-Vee, it was $10. I went there today, $7.97. I was, oh, shit.
You're feeling great about it.
I bought two. And I had to text all my friends to tell them.
Yeah, I got the text. And I was like, wow, he's weirdly excited about that.
Velvety and smooth. Did you know that Barefoot is the most awarded wine brand?
I have a hard time believing that.
It's on the bottle. It says it right on the bottle.
I don't know.
If you don't believe it, then they're a bunch of liars.
I mean, anybody can make awards.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
They can give themselves these awards.
They might. Yeah. They might. Well, John was out for a couple weeks, or you weren't here last week.
No, I've been traveling now for almost two full weeks. I was in Duluth for a few days. I was in Minot, North Dakota for a few days. I came back for one day, and then I took off to New Orleans. So I've been gone for a long time.
You
What's
have?
In Minot?
I haven't slept. Work.
Nothing.
Well, no, that's what
work.
I thought.
Yeah, so I've been traveling all over the place. I haven't slept in my own bed in one night of the last 10, so I'm glad to be home, and I'm glad to be back on the show.
Yeah, well, it's good to be
back. You guys
back.
Did a great job holding down the fort last week.
Yeah.
I couldn't be there, but DJ Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, that was
Amber
a really
Ace Cleveland.
Cool, really cool interview. That was cool to hear. Man, that guy, we've never had anyone on the show that's an ambassador for Adidas clothing. You know what I mean?
That's a big deal.
Cool. Yeah, I was hoping he'd just be like, yeah, I'm an ambassador. You want some free shit?
Yeah.
Here you go. Yeah.
Didn't work that way?
Didn't work. Not at all.
I think Franz needs to come up a little bit.
You need to come up a little bit?
Like just the volume or me physically?
The positivity.
No, like I'm saying, like his level.
Or there.
Or maybe style. Just,
We have to get him into it.
We got to get him into it.
We got to get him into it.
We got to turn him up and we got to get him turned up.
Well, John's out for a week and tons of shit in the world.
The
just
world
happens.
Just goes crazy.
Jesus Christ, John. Man. Don't ever miss a week again.
No, I'll take the fall for this one.
You should. But it's good to have you back because on a past episode of the show, we were talking about, first of all, we like to shit on Suge Knight.
We do a lot of,
shit
we talk a
shit
lot
on
of
Suge
bad
Knight.
Things about Suge Knight.
Well, you know, you're familiar. He's done a lot of bad things and been accused of a lot of bad things.
He is a bad man.
Most of which I'm pretty sure are true. I have no idea, obviously, if he really has done such things. But
I mean, he did that. He hung Vanilla Ice from his feet.
Right.
Over a building.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's kind of where his legacy began, was right there.
Yep.
It really was.
And if that would the only thing that he had done, people
would be
like, Suge Knight's a
fine.
Hero.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
They would love him. They'd throw parades in his honor.
He basically,
but instead, he keeps killing people.
Yeah. Right. He basically hung Vanilla Ice upside down and shook $1 million out of him. But okay, so on Showtime, this was like a month ago, I'd say, a couple months ago.
Yeah,
there
was like
supposed
August.
To air this documentary about Suge Knight called American Dream, American Nightmare.
Wow.
Nightmare spelled
with
a K,
like
Suge Knight.
Nightmare. And it didn't air. There was like, first of all, there was like no information about it online.
This is the internet, man.
There's information about everything.
Yeah.
We spent weeks trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah. And it just didn't air. Never aired. And I was looking it up and like, what happened? Why didn't it air?
Yeah.
And I know how to use Google. I know how to use Google. I know how to search for shit. I know how to dig for shit. Nothing. Nothing. But I was doing a little more digging this week. I thought, hey, I'd just see maybe it was made, but it just didn't release for some reason. Whoa. I don't know if the mics picked that up. My kids are, they're okay. They're okay. Don't worry. Supposed to go up on Hulu.
They're putting it up on Hulu.
Yeah, via the Showtime subscription on October 28th.
Okay.
So really? We'll have to see if that actually happens. Because if it hits the internet, it's going to be out there.
Then y'all could do like one of those like live watchings.
Like a commentary track?
Yeah, commentary, yeah.
I just said October 28th. That's already happened.
Yeah, wait a second.
Yeah, wait a minute.
So why didn't you find it?
It should be out there. I'm going to look.
I have the mobile app.
I'm going to do Showtime?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Look it up, man. But there's still a severe lack of the info on this show. We got to find out what's going on.
Even our information is bad. Yeah. Our news wasn't even.
Because this, so in Googling this, I found that the guy that's been working on this documentary, it's been in the works since like 2012. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time.
Oh, it's the director is famous. It's what's his Antoine? Is it Fuqua?
Yes. That's the guy.
So he's been working on this for like some time. And it's not like it was some like unknown filmmaker and they scrapped his project. Like this is a successful director who's working on this. And
exactly. So it's just odd. I don't know if like there's lawsuits involved that they can't air it or something.
Yeah.
You know, Suge Knight's not in the best place right now. not in his optimal.
I don't know if he's ever been in a great place.
This is true. But yeah, while you look that up, I'm gonna move on to the next thing here.
I don't see it.
You don't see it?
No.
It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
It's not going to.
Not going to air.
Suge did something. He dangled someone off a balcony.
Yeah.
And then now it's not coming out.
He dangled Antoine
Fuqua
off of a balcony. Maybe he dropped him this time.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just like, this is it.
Didn't he didn't get locked up for the.
Oh, yeah. You think he's locked up right now.
I thought is he actually in jail or is he. Because they're doing the trial.
He's
right
awaiting
now.
Trial. Yeah.
No.
For the killing of a couple.
Well, he's not. He hit some people with his car, right?
Yeah.
Did he kill the dude? I don't know if.
Yeah, there's two guys. One of them lived.
Oh wow.
The other one was killed.
And then all of a sudden, stuff started happening to Suge. Like, remember when he like passed out in the court?
It was because one of those that they delayed.
And then he claimed he was blind.
Right.
And it's like, well, why are you driving a car?
Yeah. In the courtroom, he's like, I'm blind.
That was a bad choice, Sugar Bear.
I couldn't have seen those people because I was blind.
No. Oh, but I was driving a car. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a Tribe Called Quest reunited on the Tonight Show. First of all, I got to say, what Jimmy Fallon is doing with the Tonight Show is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really cool. They're making it like a young show again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which you like, say young, but really, like, we are not
age.
Young.
Our age. So,
like, young for people in their 30s.
But that's true, but it is more appealing to even younger, a younger audience still.
More appealing than Jay Leno to a younger
absolutely,
audience.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he's done a really nice job with, like, the old classic hip-hop stuff and bringing people back. And, yeah, having the Roots and Tribe Called Quest play together was a nice touch. That was very cool.
It was very cool. And Tribe reuniting for the first time on TV in like 15 years.
Yeah.
They reunited for the Yeezus, Kanye's Yeezus tour. They did a few shows together.
Yep.
Not televised, obviously.
So their first televised performance in 15 years.
In 15 years, And they did Can I Kick It?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, You Can.
Nice.
And they did.
Nice.
I never remember the third guy's name. He's kind of the fourth member, I'd say. Are you familiar with Tribe?
Q-Tip, Five Dog, Jarobi.
Jarobi, that's the guy. Yeah, because he was, I think, for the first album, and he wasn't on the rest of the albums. Is that right?
I don't know if that's correct.
I can Google that.
Yeah,
he was just kind of like he seemed like a behind the scenes kind of guy. He wasn't. You always knew Fife and Q-Tip.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know fully what his
Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
Yeah,
he's a DJ.
Yeah, he's a DJ.
And Jarobi White.
Yeah,
that's it.
Now, have you seen the documentary?
Man, no, I have not seen the documentary.
It's a very,
I feel
very
bad
cool.
for that, man.
It's very, very cool.
Man,
it's worth the watch. Done by Michael Rapaport, who just cameoed on an episode of Big Bang Theory,
nice.
Which was kind of odd, but very
cool.
I like him.
He only appeared on one album.
Jarobi?
Yes. Oh, he really? Was a part-time member. He helped them write songs and mm-hmm. perform, but only appeared on that album, People's Instinctive Travels.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I had no idea.
He had vocals recorded for Low End Theory, but then he left the group. They pulled his vocals off the album.
Oh, okay.
Damn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Dang, yeah, that does.
It's good to see him back, though. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, that's cool. After all this time.
Yeah.
25 years ago, that album was released, though. Whoa.
That's crazy.
People's Instinctive Travels and the Paths of Rhythm, 25 years ago. They're reissuing it right now.
They're doing a series. I think they're re-releasing all their albums.
Yeah, yeah. Are you guys getting that little buzzing noise?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. It's probably like a cell phone.
It's your phone.
It's your phone.
Way to go, Rob.
Put it away. Now, I didn't know this. That song, Can I Kick It,
yep.
has the bass line from Lou Reed's...
Yeah, Walk on the Wild Side.
Walk on the Wild Side. And did you guys know the story behind that?
No.
That they sampled that bass line.
Mm-hmm.
And they were with Jive Records.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, they tried to get permission. And Lou Reed said, you can use it, but I get all the profit from the song. And I don't know why or how they agreed to do that. But... Before
the record industry really started shutting down on sampling, and the deals could be like that. You could make crazy deals.
Yeah.
So maybe they were thinking like, well, sure, we might not make any money on like single sales, but if we sell a 12-track album or whatever, and only one of the 12 tracks we don't get paid for, we're still getting 11 twelfths. Right.
But that was
maybe
one
that
of
was the, logic.
One of the, if not the, big single off the album, you know. So he probably got paid from the performance the other night, too.
Yep. I'm sure he did.
That's pretty crazy. Yep. Man, Lou Reed.
Well, I'm sure he's getting paid for tons of samples.
Yeah.
I mean,
he just passed away. Didn't he pass away like a year or two ago?
Bonita Applebaum was on that album, too.
Oh, okay. That's another classic. So that's the one. Bonita Applebaum's the one Pharrell did a remix for. I think it's Pharrell, right? Did a remix for that song on that album with the reissue.
Oh, okay.
You're asking me or are you telling me? I don't know the answer to that.
This is the worst episode we've ever done.
It's a privilege to be here.
I'm just kidding, man. That's crazy. The album itself went gold, so hopefully they did make some money off of that.
Yeah, I hope so.
But the single was big.
It seems like they've done fine since, so I'm sure there are.
Yeah. Yeah. How many? Yeah. Walk on the Wild Side. Holy shit! That song itself has been sampled a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. But talking about resurfacing old tracks, the song that we opened up this episode with, the RZA was digging through some crates, found some reels. He used the word reels.
Like literal reel to reel.
That's what he said, the word reel. Mm-hmm. I would assume he meant
sure that's
reel
what
to reel.
Is, yeah.
Found this old ODB track from the Return to the 36 Chambers era, and it's called, what is it called? I don't have the name of it here.
It's called Obey Me, I think.
Obey Me, yeah.
It was originally called like...
Bitches Obey Me?
Bitches Better Obey Me.
Bitches Better Obey Me, yeah. Yeah, so...
Oh, ODB.
Yeah.
And that is like...
That, man.
Every Wu-Tang's member's original album, the first album, always classic.
Mm-hmm.
After that, well, Ghostface and Raekwon.
Yeah. And Method Man.
And you're right. Okay, so three out of nine, so bad.
RZA had a couple decent projects.
Yeah.
I mean, Digital? Yeah, to each his own, you know. I mean, ODB is a huge favorite of mine. Meth is a huge favorite. But Ghostface and Raekwon, man, they take it, man.
Yeah, so, you're right.
Oof.
So, but to hear, like, ODB, you know, each member, to me, has a special place. ODB is just kind of like, he's just so out there.
He's he was like, to me, he was like the rawest, purest like life of the Wu-Tang. Like the most unfiltered, you know what I'm saying? Like that was just him.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like he's a dude that could come out now and like shake the world. You know, if the way he was approaching things he did shake the world when he came out the way he did it, but you know, it would still be relevant now, that whole approach. It's very unique, it's very raw.
I wonder if some of these young rappers today, like Young Thug. Young Thug is a good example.
It's in that vein.
It's in that vein.
Yeah. You know, like, man, I love Young Thug and his new shit.
Yeah.
The project he came out with this summer was like one of the ones I banged the most, the Slime Season.
Mm.
And now I haven't listened to Slime Season 2, but that just came out.
So what's unique about this track is... RZA found this track, and apparently ODB was one of these guys. He would record, you know, a bunch of songs for an album.
Yeah.
And kind of expected them all to just be on the album, you know.
Yeah. Everything makes the album.
Yeah. Everything makes the album.
No wasted.
RZA apparently was like, no, not everything, yeah, you know. Yeah. So this one didn't make it.
Not sure. Every song is a masterpiece, you know.
But so you can go on YouTube and you can, there's actually a video for the song.
Oh, wow.
But it's Young Dirty Bastard. His son is kind of playing, Dirty Bastard, who looks very similar
it's
to
It's a cool
him.
Video, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. There's a lot of candy.
Candies, candy everywhere.
It's all candy. Yeah. So I was curious, what the hell is the candy thing all about? Mm-hmm. And that kind of ties in with how you get the original version of the song. The song in the video is a remix.
Okay.
So to get the original song, you have to buy this $70 Bluetooth speakers by this company called Boombotics.
Yep.
Now, Wu-Tang worked with this company to release. It's a little speaker, but apparently it's pretty loud. It gets pretty loud. Yeah. It's a special edition one. You can get this yellow one with the Wu bat symbol, whatever it's called.
Okay.
So there's a limited edition Old Dirty Bastard one.
Yeah.
So for $70, you get the original version of this song, which is the only place to get it.
Huh.
And these two remixes.
Until somebody uploads it online.
Until, yeah, someone's got
it. It's like, I'm sort of torn because in 2015, it's hard to fault anyone for trying to get paid somehow by making music, because it's hard to get paid making music.
These are the same dudes that, didn't they have that like $1 million album or whatever?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
But I'm not buying a Bluetooth speaker to get this ODB song from the archives. I'll just wait till it's on...
$1 million for music either, you know? That's crazy.
Now, the word that he used was embedded. It's embedded into, like, the speaker. So
what does that even mean?
Can you get the song off of there?
Yeah, right.
The only place you can listen to the song is on that speaker.
Apparently. Someone's going to figure it out. Yeah. Someone's going to get it off of there, and we're going to be able to hear it.
It's a weird time.
Because the remix, I don't think is that... It's hard to capture ODB's voice. Mm. And that's kind of the problem I had after... The first album was over anybody else's production but RZA's.
Yeah, he needs that RZA production.
Yeah, and that's why every album following Return to the 36 Chambers, I mean, they're okay.
Yeah.
But you just, I don't know, it's just almost the way it was intended. Yeah.
I mean, he did decent with the Neptune shit.
Yeah.
He did decent with Pharrell production. And,
stuff.
But it still was not the same vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, and Pharrell's obviously a very seasoned producer. He's
one of the best.
But still,
I kind of dug the song a little bit. I listened to it; it wasn't my favorite.
Right. It's not terrible. I'm not saying
I was going into it ready to shit on it, to just think it was going to be bad.
Damn, don't do that, man.
But I listened to it. I was like no. I enjoyed it. I did. Because my problem is, like, they find these scraps, they build, it's like the way that they've been putting out Tupac records for the last 20 years, and Biggie records, it's like, I just assume it's shit at this point.
Yeah.
But it wasn't shit, it was all right.
Yeah.
It sounds like ODB in the 36 Chambers area. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, one of the best stories I've ever heard, or read, rather, was the Insane Clown Posse did a song with Old Dirty Bastard. And there's a book. I got the book over there. It's called Behind the Paint. It's a biography written by ICP.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And there's a section in there. They're talking about the song they did. The song's called Bitches.
Yeah.
And pretty much just Old Dirty Bastard going, Bitches, Bitches.
Yelling.
But I think he does rap on the song too.
I think the story was that they sent him the track and he just sort of yelled over it for the whole beat.
Awesome.
And then they got this back and they're like, "What the fuck are we gonna do with this?"
Yeah.
So they chopped it up to sort of make it rhyme, so it felt like a verse, but they cut bars and move stuff around so they could get like a verse.
I'm gonna have to go listen to this now.
Yeah, it's. I haven't listened to that song in a long time, but. It's just that's how we imagine most ODB tracks going.
How much in the digital age, I think that ODB would have been different, because like all those sort of slight, you know, things where he's a little bit off, you wouldn't be able to fix it.
Well, that's a lot of the reason why old hip hop or original hip hop, whatever that the first two waves of hip hop was so great because of the raw dirtiness. I mean, Wu-Tang was like built off of that. That was like their signature. Oh, yeah. Like that raw,
like
dirty,
now
rugged,
you'd, everything would
gutter.
Be cleaned up, cut and paste and slide and
lose,
drop.
You lose so much in that transition. You lose so much in the cleanliness and and the preciseness and perfection of it, it just makes the music dry.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So there's more? Is there more?
Yeah, RZA says that that there's more unreleased Wu-Tang stuff from that original era.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to see what happens with that.
Hopefully you don't have to buy a Bluetooth speaker every time.
Well, and you know, hopefully this money is making it back to ODB's family.
Yeah,
because
actually,
he has a lot of children.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because in that video, the video they show, it says presented by Boombotics and the estate of ODB.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's,
that's
and maybe great. That's how they're like, okay, we can do this, but you know, the money's got to come back to the Russell Jones family.
Yeah.
And also Young Dirty Bastard's got to be in the video.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a requirement.
Yeah. Which, by the way, it says Old Dirty Bastard Jr.
Oh, is that what he's going by now?
So he might be. Maybe he's too old to be young now.
Yeah, he's not Young Dirty Bastard anymore.
I think he's probably in his 20s by now.
No, he's still fairly young. I mean, it's not like...
This is true.
So you're going by like Young Dirty Bastard when he was like 50, then I'd be...
you can be young at any age.
But like, how old is Young MC? he never changed his name, right?
He just goes by MC now. He dropped the Young. So another
people do drop the Young, though, like Jeezy.
Right.
He was, you know, eventually they drop the
Young. Jeezy.
And people drop the Lil. And they drop the Young when they get to a certain point, but not Young MC.
Because he was the originator.
Yeah, well, he'd just be MC. I don't think that would work.
He was the first.
I want to talk about this because this to me is genius and a little bit crazy.
Oh yeah,
Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
How do you pronounce his last?
I don't know. I like
saying it was LaBeouf.
I think it was LaBeouf too.
I like to say it like LaBeouf,
like French,
like French. Right?
LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always do this, and I'm drinking wine.
Yeah.
So he's been like super heavy into performance art.
Yeah.
Lately.
He's
been doing these very
stuff.
Strange things, mm-hmm. which I think is totally, I mean, I think it's great, but this is the weirdest one, I think, yet.
So this is what he did. This happened last week at the Angelica Film Center in Manhattan, and it started last Tuesday, November 9th. Every movie Shia LaBeouf has done in reverse chronological order, so starting from his newest film, Back,
to his
just
first
back
movie.
To back to back to back all day
in a movie
every
theater
day, in a movie
open
theater.
To the public and he's sitting there watching it
and he's sitting there
and
enjoying it with
camera
you.
That's on cool. him broadcasting to the internet
so 24/7 you can watch
so
him.
He watches his own movies for 58 consecutive hours.
Wow. That's just pretty torturous.
Wow. So it starts with I forget the name of his newest movie.
I don't know.
But it goes all the way to his very first movie, which is a movie called Breakfast with Einstein. And it's I believe it to be like a kid's movie from 1998.
Wow.
Which is a star-studded film starring Priscilla Presley. And the dog, which is
the
named
dog's named Einstein.
Einstein, voiced by Cheech Marin.
Cheech Marin.
Cheech Marin.
So Cheech is the dog. Cheech is Einstein.
Right. Which, by the way, the dog in the Back to the Future movies is also named Einstein.
But is not voiced by Cheech.
Not. Maybe the voice in his head is.
Yeah, maybe. But he's done some very strange, like he did the, he
wait,
showed
wait,
up.
Wait, Cheech Marin?
No, it's back to Shot. Oh. So he showed up on the red carpet with the garbage or the paper bag on his face and it said, I am not famous anymore.
Yeah.
And he walked the red carpet. And then he did, there was like an art thing where he just, the whole deal was he was just there and you could like come sit next to him and like he wouldn't respond to you, he wouldn't talk to you, he just sat there in a room and you
interesting
could sit there in a room with him. He's he's a weird guy.
Well,
I mean at this point he's probably, I mean, if that's what's in his heart, you know, he's got more money than he'll ever need, so do what you love.
Yeah,
I guess
do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
right? He's in a pretty shallow field of work, you know, so
absolutely.
You got to do something to make life real.
I think, and now I don't know if this was like his agent that came up with this idea, but it's still, we're talking about it right now.
It's the first time we've ever talked about him on the podcast.
It
so
is,
that probably
you're right.
Says something. it's not like we do a Shia LaBeouf recurring segment.
He was live tweeting an acid trip, and I was like, that's pretty cool. You know, like, I think, because you got to understand, like, this dude when child, I feel bad for child stars because it's like everybody's like, oh, dude, you have everything you need. And it's like, no, you don't, bro. Mm-hmm. You live an isolated ass life and everybody's looking at you like you got something. And you're looking at everybody else like, damn, I want what you got. And so it's kind of like one of those things. My interpretation of seeing where he's at right now is like, okay, now he's a grown ass man, but he has no idea how to relate to anybody his age group because he didn't grow up the same way.
Right.
So now it's like, how do you reconnect? Well, maybe I need to go sit by strangers. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I need to go hang in a movie theater with some strangers and we can watch my movies together and talk shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, just be normal, you know?
I did read that during the Transformer movies that he pretended to take a nap. I don't know if there was like some sort of like commentary that he was making on the Transformers movies. But he like closed his eyes and pretended to sleep.
I just want that to be real. Yeah. That's funny. Are you guys fans of the Transformer movies?
I have never seen any of them.
I mean, I work with kids, so I've seen the movies with the kids, but you know, I mean, it's whatever. The only thing I remember that upset me about them was like they had like some like, I don't know what they were trying to portray, but they had like these robot characters that were supposed to be like ghetto or
I remember the two of them.
And it
that
was just
were like,
what is this shit? Like it just like seemed really contrived.
I remember that
weird shit. That was the only thing I hate like watching films with kids and seeing shit like that and not talking about it with them because I need them to know like what they're seeing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's just like, dude, don't ruin it for them. Just let them enjoy this shit. But it's, you know, it's just fuck all that shit.
Yeah, I think I saw the first one. I haven't seen the.
Yeah, that's like when I was telling. I'm like, I've never. People have asked me that. I have to tell them I've never seen Transformers. People look at me like I have like an extra eye or something. Really? Like, you've never seen Transformers? I'm like, no.
You're really not. If you've seen one Michael Bay movie,
seen them all.
Really? Yeah.
Did Michael Bay do Bad Boys?
Did he?
I thought he did.
I don't think he did. No way.
A Google map.
Yeah,
there's a lot of explosions in Bad Boys. That could be. I'll tell you what movie he did do. The new Ninja Turtles movie.
I don't know if I seen that. I don't think I
didn't see that.
Oh, no, I didn't want to see that because I was like, damn, I really like the old Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Bay.
No shit.
Well, he did Bad Boys 2. I don't know if he did Bad Boys 1.
Oh, man. No, I kind of like it a little less. But the new Ninja Turtles, I actually...
Also Bad Boys 1.
Okay. I like the new Ninja Turtles movie.
It's good.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's a scene where the four turtles are going down in an elevator and they just start beatboxing. like on a whim. One of the turtles like does something and he's like tapping his hand and they're just like...
I mean, I think that's what was cool about the Ninja Turtles always is that they were involved in... hip hop shit from the beginning. They had bebop and rocksteady and all that shit. All those things were references to the ongoing hip hop shit that was going on in New York City and stuff. And actually, April was actually biracial in the comics when they originally came out, and then when it went to movies, she became a white
Once Hollywood
woman,
got
right?
their finger in there, can't have that.
Right, exactly. You know, but it's I think that's why I always bought into it as a young person. It was just like, this shit seems pretty real. Mm-hmm. Even though it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
and let's not forget the second movie featured that guy that Suge Knight hung on
to. Go Ninja, go Ninja, go. Yeah.
The ninja rap.
Ninja rap. Well, John, you wanna get into your news over there?
Wrestling news?
Yeah.
Sure.
You got wrestling news.
Going wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
Wrestling news this week brought to you by...
I don't know.
What do you want it to be?
Well, it's not brought to you by anything, I guess.
John Cena?
Just me. It's brought to you by Johnny Question Mark. Normally, we'd always have it as the album.
Brought to you by JohnnyQuestionMark.com, the website.
The website. It still exists.
Yes.
Nice.
So, wrestling news this week. John Cena, who those who follow current wrestling will notice that he has taken a leave of absence from the world of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And which is strange because John Cena has basically been on TV every week for like the last 12 years.
Wow.
Because he doesn't
12 years? He's been wrestling for 12 years?
It's been a really long time, yeah. I mean,
is that an accurate number, 12 years?
I'm not, I could look it up, but it wouldn't.
It just doesn't seem that long.
It would not surprise me. It probably sounds about right. Maybe 10 years.
I'll accept it.
So, and everyone was wondering, what's John Cena going to do with his time now that he is not in the world of wrestling? The answer is... He will be hosting a show called American Grit on Fox, which is a new reality show featuring 16 contestants to go through military and survival-themed challenges.
Interesting. Now, he was in the military, wasn't he?
No, I think he just wears a lot of camouflage.
Well, that's very misleading, John Cena. No, very misleading.
I don't think he was in the military.
Wrestling is pretty misleading. In
right. In general. So in case anyone was wondering, that is what he is doing.
I saw him in a preview for a movie. Mm-hmm. It's Amy Poehler and what's her name? Sisters. I think it's called Sisters.
Tina Fey.
And he's got like this crazy like neck tattoo that comes up like up onto his face almost. Mm-hmm. So, and there's something to be said about people that have neck tattoos.
He was supposed to be
really
good in what was the other movie that he was just Amy Schumer movie. Trainwreck.
Yes.
Cena was supposed to be pretty good in that too.
Nice. What kind of movies do you watch, Franz Diego?
I don't know if I watch movies. I suppose I watch more documentaries and stuff. Like the last documentary type movie thing I watched was Rebel Kings, which is really dope. It's about it's about right before hip hop, the Bronx in New York City, what all the kids were doing in the street that eventually created hip hop. So it was basically like a lawless ass area, burnt out buildings, everything's rubble. The cops are too afraid to go in there. Nobody wants to go in there except the people that live there. And it basically gets taken over by young street gang kids, like from 8 years old up to like 22 year olds. And, you know, the gangs go block to block and they're super savage and super vicious. I mean, you know, they're raping people, they're killing people, they're just beating the shit out of people everywhere. Hmm. And
hip hop is born.
And hip hop comes because eventually it gets so out of control and so many kids die and basically guns get introduced. So all this stuff was happening with like bats with nails in them, right. And like chains and
knives. And
yeah, was this movie called Warriors?
No, well, this is what Warriors is based on.
Really?
Yeah, Warriors is based off a real thing. This is what people need to understand. So when they have that situation where Cyrus goes and unites all the gangs, mm-hmm. and then somebody shoots Cyrus, that actually happened. All these street gangs from all these different boroughs, all these different blocks converged, and they were going to have a truce. And so they sent one guy who was like this Cyrus guy, I can't remember his real name, and he was going to be the guy to go talk to everybody and smooth everything over. And he ended up getting set up, and so he showed up at this park where he's supposed to meet with all the leaders, and somebody, well, basically a bunch of them all just jumped him and murdered him. And Damn. So from then on, like, people were then the tensions were really high and stuff, and that's when the guns got introduced and stuff. And then the solution was like, well, fuck, like, we got to do something. So they started throwing, there was a gang, one of the biggest gangs was called the Ghetto Brothers, and they were mainly a Latino gang. But when you're Latino, that's a cultural thing. So racially, that goes across white, black, mm-hmm. everything. So they were able to infiltrate and unite all these different gangs, and they'd be like, hey, come to my neighborhood on Friday. We're going to have a big ass block party every Friday. You can sing, you can rap, you can dance, you can do whatever you want to do. Hang out. We'll have girls there and stuff. No violence. Just be cool. Have fun. And that's where hip hop got birthed out of, was that type of socializing. And eventually people enjoyed that so much that they didn't want to deal with any beef or any violence and stuff. And then Cool Herc got introduced with his sound system, and all from there, that's basically, they built truces, and they had big meetings throughout the city with all the gangs, and they brought all the leaders together and said, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. You know, we don't want to kill each other. We want to, you know, cultivate ourselves, cultivate our neighborhoods. We want to take over. We want to protect our communities from the police, who are murdering us as well. And that's where hip hop was birthed out of. So this documentary just came out, I think, this year. And it's really dope. It has a lot of stuff. I mean, it's really important if you really love hip hop and study hip hop. I mean, to know where it really comes from and how it really came to be is very important. What I will say about this film is that I think it makes it simplifies the story a little bit, because there's another documentary called 80 Blocks from Tiffany's, which is one of my favorites of all time. And that's like this dude who was there while all this shit was going on, and he was filming all these gangs, and you really kind of see what they're really doing. I mean, these dudes had their own jails that they would lock people up in. Like, if you were in your gang and you had one of your members like beat up somebody that you didn't want to beat up or rape somebody that you didn't want, they would like just lock them in a room and torture them. Like they had their own whole infrastructure and shit. So it was pretty nasty, pretty wild.
And that was, what's that one called?
80 blocks from Tiffany's, man. Okay. It's really dope.
I started looking up Rebel Kings to see if it was on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Rebel Kings is on Netflix. 80 blocks is on YouTube. You can look that up.
There
on
you
YouTube.
Go.
Yeah. Get the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, this was Johnny Question Mark's Wrestling News of the Week.
That was a great rest. That was the best wrestling news segment we've ever done.
Yeah.
So the other thing I do want to update on, a lot of people have come up to me and asked me recently about the status of Hometown Hype, the radio show that I've been doing on 104.7 WEQY out of the East Side. They had temporarily suspended all programming until they brought on a program director. Mm-hmm. They hired a program director. Actually, they were doing an informational meeting this afternoon to sort of update everyone on the status. I haven't heard, but programming should be resuming soon. So I appreciate people's patience. You know, I know it sucks when you tune in. You're like, well, what the hell is not there? You know, because it's not like this is a...
Is the whole station down?
No, they're just playing music. Sort of on a loop.
Yeah.
But there's no live programming. All live programming was suspended until they had the program director who could put stuff in place. Because there was some stuff they wanted to address, make sure that the community was being represented and make sure they had the right people in place and things like that. And it's all fine. So for people who've been asking, that's why the website and all the information for Hometown Hype has really been sort of nothing going on right now. Mm-hmm. Because they really can't do anything until we're back on the air. But we will be back on the air soon. So continue to do and continue to send submissions to hometownhype@gmail.com. Hometownhype@gmail.com.
Not Hometown Hype.
Not Hometown.
I don't know where it's a different word.
Hometown
that's
is
go.
where I stay at. Hometown. Hometown.
Welcome to Hometown.
That sounds like a porn radio show.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The Hometown Hype.
I'm down.
That's the boner alert.
Whoa.
We don't get to break that out.
We haven't used the boner alert in a long time.
I forgot to remind the listeners to subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah.
You should do that
on iTunes.
Stitcher Radio, which is on Android or iOS. Whatever you want. It's there.
Nice. And then you'll throw a review up if you want.
Yeah, you should.
Don't review this episode, though, because this one's been really bad so far.
Deal.
I'm just kidding.
If you want to support the podcast, Amazon Associates. Mm-hmm. If you buy stuff on Amazon, you buy stuff on Amazon sometimes, from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to thankyourob.com/Amazon, it takes you to Amazon. Talk for me because I got a wine burp.
It takes you to the same old Amazon you'd normally see. You make your purchases. You can still use your Prime, gift cards, all stuff like that. The only difference is when you use our unique link that a small portion of the advertising proceeds comes back to the show to help us cover our production costs.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Amazon Associates is a great program. It is a great way to support the podcast. Just thankyourob.com/Amazon.
And check this out. Black Friday sucks, right? It takes people away from their families.
Yeah.
Although I'm going to go to Fifth Element on Black Friday. But that's besides the point. That's actually supporting small business. You know, all these Walmarts, these Best Buys. Mm-hmm. You know, they got these Black Friday deals. And mm-hmm. I'm spinning this, being Amazon is probably the biggest corporation next to Walmart.
But
if you're going to buy your stuff on Amazon, if you go to thankyourob.com/Amazon now, it gives you like the latest Black Friday deals, which they've been doing since the beginning of November. Mm-hmm. So, if you're looking for good deals, they're already there.
Buy them now.
And you don't have to leave your house. You don't have to leave your family on Thanksgiving or the holiday weekend. It just comes right to your house.
It's a beautiful thing. And now in Minneapolis, they have that Amazon, what is it called? Amazon Now?
Oh, they do.
Amazon Instant, whatever. Same day delivery on certain items.
Really?
Yeah.
Future. Isn't there? There's an Amazon distribution center.
That's what they opened it for, I believe.
Okay.
Is that they will now deliver like certain common items if you order it to your house the same day.
Like socks?
Socks, yes.
Probably.
That's cool.
I'm assuming I urgently need socks. Yeah. I'm assuming the wolf urine. That was wolf urine,
there
right?
was wolf urine. That's not a common item.
I need that today.
We were looking around. we were working on some bits, some little
drops for the podcast.
And we were trying to find the most like random shit you could find on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
To bring up, and one of them was literally wolf urine, like a jar, like a bucket of it.
Oh, what do you use that
for? I have no idea. Scare away deer, I think.
Oh, that makes sense.
So they don't come eat your plants?
That makes sense.
Or attract your wolf friends.
Or attract other wolves.
Yeah. Werewolves.
Yeah.
In case you want to start like a wolf commune.
Yeah.
A wolf pack.
I'm down for that.
A wolf pack.
Wolves are amazing creatures.
They are, actually. Well, Franz Diego.
Yeah. We are here with Franz Diego.
We are.
The
still.
Great Franz Diego.
Welcome back to the show.
So Franz and I go way back. A lot of people who listen to the show don't know. Franz and I used to be, we were on the beatbox together at Radio K. This was probably, what, 07, 08, something like that?
That sounds right. Maybe, yeah, that's not, 06 maybe.
Might have been earlier than that.
05, 06 maybe, yeah.
And you were the successor of the show from Egypto Knuckles.
From Egypto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was the successor from Aaron Money and BK1.
Yes.
So I think it was Aaron Money and BK1 started it, and then it got passed on to Egypto, and I think the other dude was JB. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it was like interim with this dude named Paul.
Yep. Paul was there when I
started. Yeah, he helped us out a lot. And then we kind of came in with our little crew of people, and I think it might have died after
Tremont,
us. Yeah, Tremont
and
Joey
G and me and Noam. Yeah, yeah, I remember when Noam started coming.
Yeah.
And who followed up the show after you?
What happened after that?
So
I left. I graduated.
Let's get the story.
I graduated. I left.
Story,
I don't know what happened.
The story.
After.
Well, I graduated too, but it's, I stuck.
Oh,
with,
you were
I
still
stuck
there.
The
that's
show.
Right. That's
so
right.
So what ended up happening was I was really into. I'm big into radio, and I love radio, mm-hmm. and I really believe in the power of radio. And I grew up listening to the beatbox when I was a kid, and so to be able to come into that show and be a part of it and do what I want to do, I was like, whoa, this is amazing. But then I was like, well, let's take this to the next level. And one of my biggest issues with that place where it stood was I'm born and raised in Minneapolis, and so I'm big on, you know, our community doing the things that we should do for our people. And if you know where Radio K is, it's right on the West Bank where, you know, there's a huge East African population, mm-hmm. and it's the South Side, and everybody who stays on the South Side is connected there and stuff. And, you know, the College Station really stayed for the college kids, and mm-hmm. I really wanted, even though I knew a lot of people who weren't college kids were listening, mm-hmm. and so I wanted to like break it out and kind of move into like the newer times. A lot of technology was changing, mm-hmm. and stuff, and Twitter just came out, and we were able to take requests off tweets and Facebook and all this stuff, and we were doing this stuff before. We were the only live mix show that was on Radio K, mm-hmm. and before us, nobody was doing that, mm-hmm. and so I was always trying to push things to the next level. So the next thing I wanted to do was I wanted to do a live broadcast party. Basically, I wanted to have the beatbox be a 2-hour live mix party at a venue on the West Bank. And so we actually went to the Nomad with the owner of the Nomad. He came into meetings with Radio K. He was also the president or on the board of like the West Bank committee. And he was explaining to them all the reasons why this would be a good idea. So they said, yeah, it's cool. Like, you can go do this live broadcast deal. This is how you do it. Here's how we'd like you to do it. So we did one live broadcast from the Nomad, and then they brought us into a meeting and said, why did you guys do this? You are at the Nomad. The Nomad is a bar, and it's promoting alcohol. You can't do that because it's a College Station. I said, wait, hold up.
Do you know what college kids do?
Yeah, I said, you're double speaking to me because we just had all these meetings, and you just said we could do this, and you knew where it was at, and mm-hmm. you knew what we're doing. And then I started realizing that these motherfuckers really did not care about us, and they actually didn't like us, and were kind of trying to get us out. So they started being really restrictive with us and really critiquing a lot of the things we were doing. They were listening really vigilantly to like what we were saying and how we were saying it, and giving us a lot of critique and stuff, and basically just trying to make it really uncomfortable for us to be there. And so they kind of gave us a couple ultimatums, like, if you don't do this show this certain way, this, you know, this and this, we're going to take you off the air. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of really didn't like that vibe. And excuse me.
You're getting wine burps, aren't you? That's the downfall of barefoot.
Yeah, it's that.
Maybe you need a little more to wash it down.
You want more?
I'll take some more. I'll endure, man. Awesome. So, anyways, it was basically looking like a dead end, and so What essentially happened is I just didn't follow their rules because I didn't give a shit about them. And I knew they didn't give a shit about us. And so they called me into a meeting and said, look, you didn't follow these rules. We got to take you off the air. I said, that's fine. They brought me into this big, serious-ass board meeting, and I think they thought I was going to have, like, an attitude with them and all this stuff. And I was just basically like, yeah, I don't really care. I'll figure out something else. And so I don't think that show got picked up again.
I don't think it ever did
either. Which is a really, it's a big shame because that show ran for a long time and it did a lot of cool things for the community.
Absolutely.
And it's a really special show. But what came out of it was we ended up, it basically forced me and Noam out of our comfort zone to wanted to go throw a party. And so we started wandering the city. And we happened to wander down this stretch in Northeast, and we walked into a few places, and one of the places we walked into was this brand new place called Honey, and nobody knew what it was. We didn't know what it was. We went and talked to them. We said, hey, you know, we got this radio show. We want to throw this party. We're DJs and all this stuff. You want to do it? And they're like, yeah, cool. That sounds cool. We're just starting out, whatever. And it ended up being the best fit. That's where Turnt Up started about like 5.5 years ago. We're currently the longest running hip hop dance party in Minnesota. So super grateful for that. And also out of that came the Listen to Minneapolis podcast that I also started with Noam and Alicia Steele. And we ran that for about 2.5 years. And that was a real cool experience. We actually were using the Radio K studio without them knowing for a long time until they kicked us out. I mean, you know, there's an evolution to everything, and it was a great learning experience. I mean, those times at the beatbox, it was just so much fun.
It was a fun time for me because that was my introduction to radio, and it was just good. You know, you meet people, you network, you do all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I remember I'd been there for maybe like, I've been interning for probably 6 weeks, and all of a sudden, a bunch of emails come through. I can't make it tonight.
Yeah.
And then it was just me.
Yeah,
I'm like,
oh,
I'm gonna do this by myself. I was really nervous, but and then we had a guest, big Zach came in with someone else, and I didn't know Zach at the time. And Zach brought in someone he was working with, someone really young. I don't remember what the story was, but I'm like, all right, if I don't fuck this up, and it went off great. Yeah, but it was a great learning experience. But yeah, I mean, you make good relationships with people, and so it is sort of a shame, but it's nice that it sort of that sort of spawned for you all these new great things, because you're like the party king of Minneapolis. You turned into
something like that.
That's pretty cool, man. And Honey is huge for hip hop right now,
and that's a lot due in part to the staff who run Honey. John is just amazing. All their staff, they train their staff really well. You know, my issue with so many of the venues in the cities, and so many places that want to have hip hop shows or dance parties, is the staff usually are really aggressive and just not, it's like they don't want you to be there. They don't want, it's like they don't want your customer, they don't want you to pay money to their establishment, you know, and they make you uncomfortable. They got dress codes, overpriced shit, really aggressive security and bouncers that'll rough you up if you do anything that they don't like. And it's just not like that at all at Honey. It's like a house party vibe. It's just like, let's have fun. Let's have a good time.
I think there's something about that, like that basement feel to it that just really, it brings out a cool
atmosphere.
It's almost
like the Dinky Towner throwback to the
Dinky
Towner.
It was like the Dinky Towner reincarnate, a little more upscale. Because they came in right around the time that the Dinky Towner had already passed.
Right.
And people were kind of displaced. Folks were going to the Nomad. Folks were going to Blue Now, and then Honey opened up, and it was like, okay, this is cool.
I was lost. I didn't know what to do.
When the Dinky Towner closed, that was a sad time.
Where am I going to get my $1 PR?
We all played a show together.
That place, man.
We all played a show together at the Dinky Towner.
Did we?
I'm quite sure we did.
PLC Hip Hop 21 Plus record release party, and that was a special memory for me because that was the first time that we performed that song that we did Dopamine with Idea. And that was the first time we ever played that song.
Right.
And so, like, that's a very special memory for me. I mean, I played the Dinky Towner many times previous to that, but that is like that's a standout one.
That's
for me.
That's cool.
Yeah.
History.
So, and then the next week we did the first of the two. We did the All Ages one at Foundation. The week after.
Yeah, yeah.
And Idea came back and played that show with us as well.
Rest in peace, Mikey.
Indeed. Yeah. actually brings up something that I wanted to talk about. So that was when you were part, I guess you still are part of Illuminous 3.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the, you guys are, I mean, Ill3 have been around for a long time. You've done a lot of things. What's the status on L3 at this point?
I mean, we're all good, you know. We're all brothers. We grew up together. If I'm really thinking about this, I think we've been doing this shit for 15 years. Hmm. We did a bunch of crew shit for years and years and years, and then we kind of wanted to stretch our wings and start doing some on our own stuff. So we all did a few different solo records, and in the interim, we started working on a record with this guy named Javi, who's a really talented dude from here, who does a lot of, I'd say, jazz influenced production, and we have a project with him. It's called Still 3, and we do not have a release date. It might come out in a few weeks. It might come out in a few years. Who knows? It's done.
It's just there.
It's one of those things with artists. You release things when you want to release them, how you release them. We all got our lives. Maven's flying back and forth between Cuba. Freeze has a daughter now and, you know, is taking care of business, and I'm just doing weird shit. So like, you know, it'll happen when it happens, but we're working on things, and we're always working on stuff. I mean, we always got stuff going down. So,
well, that's the thing about IL3 and you, what you're doing now, it's like you have sort of crossed, like, generationally, like there was in the early and mid 2000s, like that generation of people who were doing hip hop. And now there's this whole new group of people. And you're one of the few guys who I think has successfully transcended like from that group and is still relevant and is still doing things. And like, so I see you doing stuff with like Tip. And I'm like, because he's like the next wave of this whole thing. It's very interesting because a lot of the guys who were rapping back then aren't even making music anymore. A lot of people drop. I mean, over time, people drop out and things happen. Life happens. Yeah. But it's very cool to see when I'm looking out and I'm seeing shows and I'm seeing all these new guys and I see Franz's name on there. I'm like, all right, I like this.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tip was one of the youth that would come through to Yo the Movement where I worked at during the time when we were doing the beatbox and all these things. And, you know, him and a whole crew of people like Bobby Raps and all these kids, these were people that we were mentoring and helping to figure out their craft and figure out who they are. Obviously, I'm not trying to take credit for, you know, where they're at now, but... you know, they've always been the little homies and we've always been supportive of them and trying to, you know, pass down what was passed down to us. I mean, our OGs was like Big Zach, Toki Wright, and I Self Divine. That was my big homies who like saw what I was doing and said, okay, come over here, bro. I see what you're doing. You could do this better. You could do this like that. Maybe you don't want to do that. You know, just kind of like, here's my experience. Maybe you might get some from it. Maybe not. And it's an interesting thing. I'm big on culture, man. I love the culture. That's what I'm. That's the main reason I'm part of this stuff. So, you know, whatever I can do to be a part of something is that's where I'm at. You know,
I love the image that you've kind of become.
Yeah.
You know, and it's probably been in your whole life.
Yeah.
You know, your the wizard look. Yeah. The wizard. You know, that's cool, man. That's great.
Yeah.
How did you kind of discover
where
that?
Where did wizard come from?
Where did it come from?
The wizardry came from. We had this really close good homie named Abdul, and he went under the rap name Free One. He was in the Usual Suspects with Greg Grease and DJ Just Nine and Akright. Hope I'm not leaving nobody out. Yeah, and Free One. And so, you know, they were kind of like our brother group. Like, they were all dudes that came up on the South Side. And Illuminous 3 all came up on the South Side. And believe it or not, I mean, actually, there's not a whole lot of crews that are actually from the South Side rapping about the South Side and doing shit on the South Side. And that was like kind of like our brother group. And, you know, I went to school with Abdul. We hung out all the time. We made music together, all these things. And Abdul ended up in a really shady predicament. He ended up getting murdered. And he always called himself the Black Wizard. And so we were, because he was a fucking genius. I mean, he was taking college courses when we were in high school. He had full ride scholarships. I mean, he was working on research for like high end folks and doing all this stuff. And he was extremely passionate about hip hop, extremely passionate about rap. And, you know, he ended up passing. And we, so he kind of brought the vibe and the initial, like, understanding of wizardry, and that was basically like what that was just kind of really being good at your craft or really being good at whatever you are or whoever you are, and understanding the power of that and how to use that to help others. And so from there, we kind of there became other wizards. So Greg Reese is the Green Wizard. We had DJ Alex was the Purple Wizard. I think Freeze is the Blue Wizard. There's these different wizards. There's like Jason Anxious is the Wizard of Oz. And so for me, you know, it's kind of like these are all the homies from the South Side coming up, and we all kind of have this vibe and this connection, and we really believe in a lot of things about hip hop. And so I was like, well, I need to find my place in this thing. And you know, at the time the whole WAG thing was going down, and I was like, well, I should just probably be the WAG wizard. And you know, so I took that moniker and just kind of rolled with it, and then we all just kind of expanded that from what it was. So
And that's, you know, that's funny that you mentioned the WAG thing, because like that was like a phenomenon. I remember I was probably in like 12 or when did that come out? 13, 12?
I think 12.
And I remember 12. Being in Duluth and going to the Atmosphere Welcome to Minnesota tour, and that song getting played between sets, and people were like, rock. Like, that was like a, I mean, it wasn't like a hit song like on the radio, but like in Minnesota, that was like a hit song. Oh, yeah. Like, everyone knew that song. Everyone knew Wagon on the Scene. Like, that was...
I think
it was everywhere.
It might be the most remixed song in Minnesota by Minnesota.
Because I think I remember Laserbeak doing a remix of it. Lots of people.
There's like 30 different remixes. Damn. I mean, you can go online and find them, and I posted a lot of them. I mean, that was really intentional for me. I mean, I kind of saw where hip hop was going, and I was really getting tired of the boom bap shit. Because I mean, Minnesota has phenomenal hip hop for decades at this point, and it's not to shit on boom bap at all. I love that shit and grew up on it and all that, but it was getting to a point where, you know, how I grew up over south with all the homies and all the parties and stuff, we danced, we listened to music, and we danced and we had fun and we kicked it. And it was getting to a point at all these shows and parties where people were just coming, and it could be packed, but everybody's standing around and nobody's doing shit. And it's like, this is lame as fuck. Like, I don't care if you pay. I don't care, like, if we're making money off this. This is not a fun time if you're just going to come and stand around. And so, you know, how do you get folks to dance? Well, you know, the people that are dancing, they're dancing to records that got real good bass and real good swing to them and stuff. And so I found Jay Hard from over north, and he was another kid that came around through Yo the Movement, and we kind of helped mentor him a little bit. And I was like, bro, you know, we gotta make some music. We need to make music that's equivalent to like some Lil Jon shit, but for us, our style, like how we do it. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. And, you know, I actually had to have, you know, really be very intentional with the engineers I was working with and people mixing, and be like, no, the bass, this is not a rock record. Because a lot of the hip hop for the last 10, 15, 20 years coming out of Minnesota, a lot of the engineers come from a rock background. Oh, yeah. And they don't fully understand that, like, rap and hip hop, everything is centered around the bass. So you really got that shit got to go. And so that was kind of where we were coming from, and it worked, and it was fun. It was great, man. And yeah, a whole different thing came out of it. And I think it opened the door for a lot of other people who felt alienated in Twin Cities hip hop, who wanted to have music that was danceable and that had bass and stuff, but like, it wasn't cool to have that in Minnesota. You know, other places it was normal, but in Minnesota they were so preoccupied with the high syllable, lyrical, irical miracles and all that shit, which is, I mean, you got to have talent.
There's
and skill,
a place,
but you know, we got to have fun, man. We can't just be
serious.
Well,
that translates over perfectly to what you're doing now with throwing the shows. Those are dance parties, you know? Yeah. Like, those are...
And that was another thing with Turnt Up. That was real intentional, because one of the problems was, and, you know, it was just people were going to rap parties, but they were fucking just standing around. And it's like, come on, man. And there's no girls and shit. And it's like, what is this? Why do you want to be here? So we centered it back around the women. We centered it back around dancing. And it's been an amazing time. I mean, it's fun as fuck. And it's the most lucrative stuff I've done forever. And yeah, it's great, man.
And Turnt Up is still...
Turnt Up, longest running hip-hop dance party in Minnesota every second Friday at Honey. DJ Willie Shu, DJ Gabe Garcia, and me. Throwing it down.
Willie Shu, Gabe Garcia, both. They were both on the podcast at Bedlam. The last For the Love show.
Oh yeah,
where
yeah,
you guys
yeah,
did a
yeah.
Luminous 3 reunion.
Yeah.
Gabe Garcia. Yeah, he was a good guy.
Yeah,
good both those guys.
Yeah,
both
they're great guys. I grew up with those dudes. They're really humble, real good guys.
Yeah.
Very good at their crafts.
So second Friday of every month.
Honey.
Where does that put us now? Where are we coming up on
I
the
I just
second
did
Friday?
It last
Third
weekend.
Friday. Last
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah,
okay.
So the next one ain't until December. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If people want to check it out, you can like find pictures of the party online. Like you can tell like these people are having a lot of fun. Like it's not one of those things where like, you know, oh, it looks sort of lame. Like it
no,
looks
no, no,
awesome.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, you could lose your mind. You could lose your job from this party, man. You could lose your relationships.
That's cool.
It's really fun.
So what? Any is there any other stuff you got? I mean, anything coming out?
Well,
or?
Another party. I mean, another crew I'm affiliated. That's a party is actually happening tonight at Honey. It's this crew called The Drop, and you know, so you have Turnt Up, and Turnt Up is Turnt Up. It's just high energy, crazy, wild out shit. The Drop is DJ's DJ Just Nine, who's from Usual Suspects, DJ B Rock, who's from Out the Box at the Nomad, and then DJ Frank Castle. And what they're doing, and I, you know, it's going to take a minute for people to catch on what they're doing. But once you go and see it, you're going to be like, what the fuck? But what they do is they have 6 turntables set up and they're playing all like future bass, crazy rap R&B remixes. That's just super futuristic is the best thing I could say. Mm-hmm.
And where is this at?
At Honey.
It's also at Honey.
And it's every, what is this, second Wednesday or third Wednesday? I don't even know what this is. But it's today, it's tonight.
Okay.
I'm going there after this.
So we're third Wednesday.
Yeah, right. Third Wednesday, right. Yeah. And so what's going down is, you know, they're all doing this live shit. And these are all talented DJs that don't just mix and have good taste. They're also scratching, they're blending, they're juggling. And, you know, my favorite part, what I always tell folks is it's like you got you'll have like one dude playing an acapella, one dude playing a beat, and one dude scratching in the next record or juggling the next record. And you just get this crazy vibe and synergy going on. And it's all this new music that you haven't heard that's really danceable, really fun. But it's still a low key vibe. It's not like a super high energy. They can take it there, but it's more just like some chill, fun, cool shit, you know, and yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's kind of the other side of the turnt up shit. So I'm doing that. I'm rocking with those dudes, and then you know I'm always doing something musically. I'm in a big transition with what I want to do right now with myself. So there's not a lot I can say, but I'm working on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I got the Ill 3 record that'll be coming out.
And you also you got a lot of videos on YouTube too.
Yeah, got
that
got
very
video, yeah.
visually appealing.
Yeah,
you
thank
know,
you
to match
thank
the
you.
Music. You know,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
always a fun watch. I gotta say,
thank you. I love music videos and I take them real seriously.
Oh, you can
so,
tell.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
I put a lot of effort and time in with the people working with me, and you know, we don't put shit out till it's ready to be out. And so yeah, it's a lot of fun, and yeah, it's a good time.
Is there any plans of doing like a Wizard project with everybody?
Yeah, I'm not gonna speak too much on it. There's some ideas floating around. I feel real privileged to be in a circle of friends that are truly friends, but are also extremely talented, and we really understand and vibe with music together. And so there's things that each other is working on. There's different entities, there's other aliases involved and stuff like that we're working on. And so I think you're going to see a different reincarnation of a lot of this vibe and stuff. But that's about as much as I can say on that, you know.
Understood.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
We'll keep
Black Wizard lives forever. Black Wizard lives forever, you know. So
are we ready for this?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's time for the high five.
All right.
This is when we really get to know.
Oh shit.
We cut to the core of Franz Diego.
We really get to know Franz Diego. High five. You wanna start it off here, Johnny?
Yeah,
question mark.
Yeah. All right.
Where is he gonna start? Mm. Who knows? Who knows?
Do you believe in Bigfoot, Sasquatch, aliens, any sort of extraterrestrial beings, things like that?
Oh wow! So you're lumping in Bigfoot.
I know
with
it's. I know it's a lot of different.
Like, I mean, put it like this: the galaxy is infinite, mm-hmm. and we are in less than 1% of it, mm-hmm. and we're thriving in our own manner with a million other species that are thriving in their own manners. We know that what we're made of comes from other planets and comes from other stars and stuff. So I don't think it is ludicrous at all to believe that there is life somewhere else in this galaxy. I don't know where it is. I don't know how far it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll ever see it.
Have they been here?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't think it's out the question because, no. you know, it's like, how the fuck did we get here? You know, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
True.
Where did we come from? So I don't think it's out the question. I just don't have nothing to prove anything mm-hmm. yeah, other than the facts of science. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like, I think I'm sort of on the same page like with that, but I know it was when you were saying that you're gonna lump in Sasquatch with it.
right,
it's not the same. Right. But we sort of lump together because sometimes you get really good. Like some people are super into that. Like
they absolutely
believe in Sasquatch, and then there's all the other things, the chupacabra and the Rougarou and all these other like creatures.
Wait a minute, do you know about the Rougarou?
I have not heard that.
I did not see a Rougarou while I was in.
Oh, that's right.
it's a New Orleans. It's like a Louisiana swamp creature.
Okay.
Much like a chupacabra, except
it's kind of like a werewolf.
It's like a werewolf that lives in the swamps of Louisiana.
Nice.
And you are the Rougarou, and then you bite someone, and then for 30 days, that person is the Rougarou. And then someone else gets bitten, and for 30 days, that person is the Rougarou.
It's just the funny thing is, like, there's a time limit.
Don't worry,
I'm going to bite you.
Yeah.
You only got 30 days.
New Orleans is an extremely interesting place, mm-hmm. and they're really into the voodoo and really into, you know, these kind of different mystical things that come from these different cultures mixing in this very unique climate. The older I get, the more I really pay attention to myths and legends, because mm-hmm. even if it's not, you know, word for word accurate, which it almost never is, it's usually based off some.
You can see where it came from.
Yeah, it's usually based off something that somebody experienced in some manner. And so I think it's appropriate to understand and assess that idea, you know what I'm saying? Mm. It's usually there to teach you something, you know, for you to appreciate something, you know? So I definitely look at it like that. But, you know, I think humans are so lame because it's like we think that we know like all this shit, but it's like we haven't even fully explored our own planet that we're on, and we're so concerned with all this shit that's outside of us. But it's like, you know, the ocean covers like, you know,
the majority of
the fucking planet,
right,
and we don't even know what's all in there.
Right,
like, you know,
right.
we can't even get to the bottom of the ocean.
There's places we've never,
never there's
been.
Hella species under there. We're talking about extraterrestrials and shit. I mean, who's to say that they're not just chilling down there and they've been down there the whole time and they have no interest in coming up? You know what I'm saying?
I entertain that idea a lot.
Yeah, you think about that?
I do.
Wow. Yeah.
We can't even coexist.
Right, right.
As humans.
Right.
It's like in Star Wars. In the new ones, where there was the one planet and there was a species that all lived underwater, Jar Jar Binks' people,
all
lived underwater. And then there was a whole nother species of people who only lived on the land.
Right. Well, I mean, then you put into like context, like, okay, like we have things like ants, and then we have things like single-celled organisms, shit that we can't even see.
Mm-hmm.
And so representative to them, we're like fucking... They can't even fathom the size of us. They can't even understand that. So who's to say that there isn't other creatures that are in that same scale to us? You know what I'm saying?
That
is just occupying a sphere of space that we can't even fathom because it's so massive.
The Horton
know?
Here's a who.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like this planet might just be as small as a single cell organism to another species that's like way more massive, you know.
This podcast has never gotten so deep.
Oh, man. We just got crazy philosophical.
You wanted to get to know me, man.
Right, right. No, absolutely. We could have a whole episode just digging into that shit.
Oh my god, we could do a whole show on it.
Yeah.
My question for you, sir.
Yeah.
What profession have you always admired?
Oh, yeah. I hate jobs. I don't believe in jobs. I think they're I think there's a better way to live, and I don't believe in the 40-hour work week or any of that shit. So if I have to frame it in that realm, the people that I look up to and appreciate are people that help other people. You know, my philosophy has always been with jobs that if I have to participate in 40 hours a week, if I have to give somebody else that much time out of my life and, you know, my feelings and energy, I'm going to give that to people that really need that help. And that's why I'm in the field of work that I'm in. I don't give a shit about money. You know, I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's good for people. And so, just people that help people to make a living. You know, if you're like, whatever, if you're like a doctor, nurse, therapist, if you're fucking, I wish I could say police officer, you know, but, you know, people that help people, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah. Social workers, nutritionists, healers, you know, that type of shit is cool.
Side question. This one's just off the top of my head. I know you said you don't care about money.
Yeah.
Let's say you were Batman.
Yeah.
Like Bruce Wayne is a millionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you really look at it.
Yeah. He's got to be a billionaire.
Yeah, he has a billion.
He doesn't have to, but he helps people because he likes to help people. Would you do the same?
Does he help people because he likes to help people?
I don't know.
I mean, that's a question. You
that
know,
is a question.
I think
question.
He's extremely egocentric. And, so I forgot the second part of your question.
I think Superman helps people because he wants to help people. I think Batman has like his own personal issues.
Yeah.
He's got to work out some things.
I like Batman. I mean, I like watching those movies and stuff, but I'm just like, this is just so, it's very egocentric.
Sure.
It's very like, okay. I mean, you think if he's in that position, I mean, think of all the other things he could be doing with that money. He's right. Like making himself
he's
the
like,
guy.
I'm going to build this.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the suit.
He's
this
like
car.
Running around with a weird ass suit with a weird ass voice and just fucking all these hot chicks.
He could cure hunger.
And
right,
he does
right,
a
right.
lot of fucking property destruction that it's like
oh,
never
absolutely.
Gets taken care of. Yeah, you know yeah. what I'm saying? Like,
so does Superman.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait for this.
Like,
Batman
why do these dudes
Superman?
Need to fuck up so much shit to help people?
Right, right.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to fuck up like where everybody lives at to help
right.
them. You know what I'm saying?
That was the Batman versus Superman movie. I think is going to have a lot of that.
A lot of that destruction.
We're gonna do $3 million of damage, but we're gonna save some people.
That's the American way, man.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you got next, John?
All right, so if you are stranded on an island and you could have three things, what would your three things be?
Food, water, and shelter.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Bam. Bam.
That's interesting. I think people, when I ask that question, people either, I think of it one of two ways. One, they do something so they can survive until they are rescued.
Yeah.
And then the other group of people is like, well, I'm screwed. I'm not going to survive. So then they get things like wants. Like I have whiskey and stuff that's just going to make it less painful for them to die.
If you have food, water, and shelter, you don't need too much after that.
Right.
I mean, you can make your own music and you can do your own exercise. And it would be nice if you could have some friends or a girlfriend or something, but you know you're by yourself, so that's not an option.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you think you're gonna survive? I guess if you have food, water, and shelter, then you'll just survive.
You survive until somebody saves you,
right?
Or until you
saved.
Die.
Yeah.
It's the best of both worlds, really.
Yeah. I mean, if you got food, water, and shelter, then that gives me all the tools I need to eventually. If I need to build a ship or something, then I can do that, and I don't have to worry about shit. You know? Yeah.
Cool. I like this guy.
I don't have the engineering. Like I don't have the capability to do things like build ships.
You'd be surprised. If you needed a ship, you would probably find a way
you'd
to
figure
make
it out.
One. Yeah.
Even
I
if
suppose,
you,
like,
you if
watch,
didn't
like,
know
Cast
how to
away,
fish, you'd
and he's like,
it.
Has,
right.
He has to knock his own tooth out with
right.
the
yep.
hawk, the
exactly.
skate.
Yep.
I suppose you figure
you
it out,
a
right?
Way,
oh,
man. People are resourceful, man.
Yeah.
The brain, you know, it's fast.
I think you're gonna have a good answer for this one. If you could talk with one type of animal. Like I'm talking conversation back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Which animal would it be?
Damn, that's a really good question. Off the top of my head, I feel like it would come down between like an eagle, a falcon, or like a sea turtle or something. Because they're so mobile. Mm-hmm. And they can go so many places. They see so much shit, and you know, they have some real skills. You know what I mean? Sea turtles like travel the world. They got their own protection system. They live long as fuck. They don't fuck with anybody. They just hang out, do their thing. And like eagles and falcons, like they're kind of like top of the food chain a lot of situations, and they can, you know, always get in and get out of situations. And yeah, so I think it's somewhere, and it may be like a wolf, but the main species of animal I've been really big on lately is the coy wolf. Are you familiar with the coy wolf?
I've heard that.
It's when coyotes mate with wolves.
Yeah, right,
right. And it happens a lot around urban areas, and so they're like, I kind of feel like that is like, man, that is just a crazy, awesome, amazing thing.
Yeah, they're spreading the genes out.
Yeah,
there
you go. Yeah, yeah, they're creating new species.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And though they're very attuned to how humans use the world, and they kind of basically live off of our scraps, which our scraps are amazing. You know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, we have amazing scraps. So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Good answer.
Last
good
question.
Answer.
Yeah.
Last question.
If you had a time machine,
yeah,
where/when would you go? You're not stuck here in time. You can also move.
Go to the future?
You can move. You can go to the future or back and anywhere on the globe.
Fuck. Now, that's a really hard one. Oh, man. I mean, I'm pretty content with the here and now, but like,
What does the future hold?
Yeah, I think it might be the future, just because I don't know. Not to say that I actually know the past either, but like, I really don't know the future. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of, I mean, I just feel like I would be shocked if I went to either one, you know, and kind of would probably be pretty lonely and upset. But I mean, actually, you know, it might be kind of cool to be in the pre-United States North America, mm-hmm. or even South America before the conquest and before all the fucked up shit that mm-hmm. happened.
Spain and Portugal and all that came in.
I was in Peru for a month in, what was that, April or May? Mm-hmm. And I got to see Machu Picchu, and I got to see Cusco and all these mm-hmm. really amazing indigenous cities where they did these things that people still can't figure out. Maybe it would be one of these like master civilizations, like the mm-hmm. Mayans in like Guatemala or Mexico, or the Incas in Peru, or like the Egyptians, and like trying to understand what they're thinking was mm-hmm. behind these temples and what they are really doing, like especially like in Egypt, man. I mean, I think those motherfuckers were just beyond even where we're at right now, you know. Mm. I think they were just on some cool ass right. shit, man.
Aliens?
I mean, it very well could be. I will never
cross
that out.
Are you talking about the pyramids?
Out.
Yeah.
I just don't. I hate the fucking argument or whatever the TV show, whatever the bullshit is, where it's like the ancient aliens. It's like,
yeah,
fuck you, man. Like, you can't believe that like African people were smart enough to make this shit. Of course they were, but
right.
like we still don't understand how or what, and that is like amazing. We need mm-hmm. we can spend so much time on this.
Yeah, it's terrible
out.
That they would rather give credit to aliens than African people.
Yeah, who like created amazing right. amazing things. Yeah. Like, Jesus, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's entertain the idea though.
If it was aliens, I think you still have to give credit to the Africans.
Well, because they did it.
They created a relationship
right.
with fucking aliens.
Right, right. mm-hmm. Right. That's yeah. interesting.
Indeed.
That's great. So that's it.
Yeah. Tight.
High five. And that's the high five.
Turn up, turn up, turn up, turn up, turn up. High five.
He's got it.
Turn up.
Yep.
High turn up.
Yep.
Well, Franz, I want to thank you for coming through and doing the
yes,
show, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah, it's cool.
It was good
man.
To finally get you in here and
yeah,
do this.
It's cool.
Freeze has been by.
Dope.
He's done this a couple times.
Dope.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got to get Maven in
did
here.
Did Maven
now,
ever do the show?
No, he has not.
As yeah, his, what's he go by now? I forget.
Two for one. That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah. I've been saying Maven the whole time. It is 2 for 1 that he's going by.
So if when is it 2 for 1 just when he's doing solo stuff, or when L3 reconnects, does he become Maven again?
My understanding. So with the Luminous 3, there is a time area around the WAG time area where a lot of the homies took on different entities. Mm-hmm. My entity was, Tron Diaz 8510. Mike McLon had Zero Kool-Aid. Then Freeze had, this is fucked up if I forget this name. it's on his last album. He has a name. Fuck, I'm not thinking. But anyways, 2 for 1 is the alias of Maven. So yeah, when Illuminous 3 is together, it's Freeze, Franz Diego, Maven, and then you know we have the alter egos of 2 for 1, Tron Diaz 8510, and I'm sorry, Freeze, I'm forgetting your alias right now.
is it a track on his
list? Yeah, do you got the track list right there?
Here.
Let me see. Man Radio. Yeah.
Man Radio. Oh, I see that. Hashtag Man Radio.
Yep. So Man Radio, Tron Diaz 8510, and 2 for 1 as the alter egos of Illuminous 3. All
right.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's the Tron Diaz record floating around out there, and there's a 2 for 1. There's not a Man Radio one, but there will be.
Someday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, Illuminous3.com.
Yep.
You're on all the Instagrams as Franz Diego.
Not on Instagram.
I'm on Twitter,
Facebook, and that's about it.
Franz is a very active Twitter account.
Yeah.
So if you like following people who are super active, then Franz is a great follow. I recommend him to anyone. But also your Facebook links with your Twitter. So if you're like friends with him on Facebook like I am, then you just get all the same tweets.
Same info pretty much.
You get it all
for the most part. Yeah.
No Instagram though.
Yeah, man. That's just
it's not for you.
Too incriminating, and I don't really like stepping out of moments. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as I'm active online and all that shit, like this is more valuable face to face than like I'm gonna be on my phone talking about that. I'm talking to you guys, like that. I really don't like people that like interrupt your time together to go fuck with their phone and be like, look how cool my life is. It's like, bro, we're right here.
Right.
Like, I know how cool this is. This is really cool. Yeah, let's do this.
It does sort of remove you from the moment. Like
absolutely.
Like I don't know, there's something different to me about like Twitter, like documenting something versus like Instagram, like taking a picture of it.
Yeah.
Like I see when people take pictures of their food all the time. I'm like, what are you gaining?
I mean,
from
I would
that?
Rather have you tell me about an amazing meal you had than show me a picture of the food you ate. Like that's just hella cheap to me. It's like when people is like I'm like going traveling, like, oh, take pictures. I'm like, why, bro? Like I know what I saw, I can tell you what I see, but I'm not gonna spend my time taking photos for you. I don't need the photos.
You need to go there and experience
it. Exactly, man.
And then you're also on Bandcamp. The albums are there.
So, yeah, Bandcamp and SoundCloud. You can find pretty much everything I've ever done between those two. Illuminous3.com is the most it has the best lineup of all of our discographies, everything we've done. Like I said, we've been doing this 15 years, so I think I got 8 projects out, maybe 9, and not included.
Put out last year was Float.
Float was the last record I put out.
And we, like we said before, Franz does have a great deal of videos on YouTube.
Some videos, so I'm real accessible, man, and, you know, whatever, let's hang out and have a interesting time, you know.
And get turnt up.
Get turnt, get anything, man. Get whatever we want. That's the main goal.
Well, thanks again for coming through and doing this, man. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Rob.
Yes, sir. Head over to thankyourob.com. There's a link to the podcast, past episodes, Freeze. You can listen to that. He's a good guy, man. I really enjoy.
Yeah.
He sat in this very room and got really drunk.
I believe it.
A couple times.
We call that level 5 for him.
Level 5, yeah. He might have shouted that out a couple times now that I think about it. I Define Design, link to my graphic design work. If you need any work done, hit me up. Link to johnnyquestionmark.com, yes. the official sponsor of the wrestling
of
news.
The wrestling news segment, yes. Which currently still has a link to Falling in Like, which you can download for free right now on my website. Also, as soon as we have more information about Hometown Hype and the status of the show and when we'll be back on the air, I will make sure that gets posted there as well. You can also like Hometown Hype on Facebook, and that's where I post after shows, track listings of what we played on every show, links to the artists and where you can find their music.
And pictures of the food you ate in the studio. There.
There's no pictures of food on any of
that. Hey, man, teach their own. I'm just saying.
No, no, that's cool. That's cool. Also, a link to Fuzz Talk Radio, our good friends down in Mankato, 24/7 internet radio, playing local Minnesota music all day, every day. And finally, a link right there to Amazon Associates, where you can buy stuff and support the podcast.
Yeah.
Buy your normal stuff.
Just buy it through our link.
Like just socks, buy stuff.
You know,
buy
thank
socks.
You, thank you, rob.com/Amazon.
Underwear and socks. Those are two things you absolutely should be
wearing.
I think
a lot of the same day delivery stuff is actually food.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think so.
Food.
Like edible socks.
Yeah.
Edible underwear.
Yeah, edible underwear.
There you go.
Yeah.
Again, Franz Diego, thanks again for coming through. Always a pleasure. And Johnny Question Mark, any last words?
I got nothing.
I'm going to end it with handshakes and high fives.
Yeah.
Something sick that gon' make you need pharmaceuticals. Feel it in your fingers how I get under your cuticles. Yes, I'm so unusual, not like none of them dudes. You know I'm like a puffer pass. I stroke that ass, goddamn you beautiful. Usual, yaga yow, wagging on the scene. And I can do the shoulder lean like I drink promethazine. And I'm bad to death, I mean, that's my status on your screen. I'm not batting for y'all team. Kick a can like pork and beans. Now, here's the sort of thing that get my people round up. So, wang it in the speakers, tell the people mound up. No bullets, what we talking? We speak it loud and often, and we bout to kill the dance floor. Put the speakers in the coffin now. Wag it like we over south. Tigers, what y'all know about? Powderhorn and Phillips getting lifted when we smoking out. Downtown showing out. Northside, give me love. We mostly wag at house parties. Sometimes we hit the club. Okay, I'm wagging on the scene. Yeah, I'm just wagging on the scene. Okay, I'm wagging on the scene. Yeah, I'm just wagging on the scene. Okay, I'm wagging on the scene. Yeah, I'm just wagging on the scene. Okay, I'm wagging on the scene. Yeah, I'm just wagging on the scene. I said I'm wagging on the scene. They say wagging, what that mean? And then I cuss and cause a scene while I wagging do my thing. I said I'm wagging on the scene. They say wagging, what that mean? And then I cuss and cause a scene while I wagging do my thing. Now there's some shit from over south that most of y'all don't know about. Illuminous three cuss out of your prom. Don't forget about McLon from Doomtree. No big car, no jewelry, just Midwest all through me. Let's get down and dirty. We hang round them 30s, them 40s, them 50s, them 20s, them 10s. West Bank, come get with me. I'm loped out again. For loco, get me amps. Snap a photo and then I'm pitched up like a camp. Okay, I'm wagging on the scene. Yeah, I'm just wagging on the scene. Okay, I'm wagging on the scene. Yeah, I'm just wagging on the scene. Okay, I'm wagging on the scene. Yeah, I'm just wagging on the scene. Okay, I'm wagging on the scene. Yeah, I'm just wagging on the scene. I said I'm wagging on the scene. They say wagging, what that mean? And then I cuss and cause a scene while I wagging. Do my thing, I said I'm wagging on the scene. They say wagging, what that mean? And then I cuss and cause a scene while I wagging do my thing.